Buenos días, familia. I'm so thankful for KJ. On the first service, this table is like this tall. And I was like, do you forget how short I am? It was a big deal. Okay, so if we don't know each other, my name is Misael Gonzalez, and I'm one of the pastors here. But I spend most of my time in Tulsa, but I always feel honored to come hang out with you guys. And so before we even start, has anyone like felt spiritual warfare this morning coming to church? Anybody felt spiritual warfare? Okay, I did, because I was over there driving here to church today. It was like 7-something in the morning, and I'm driving, and I'm about to get like, you know, past the 86th Street kind of, you know, exit, and I'm driving, and all of a sudden I see something on the road, and I was like, oh man, poof. And then I was like, and I was like, are you serious right now? So I was like, oh my goodness. So like I had to turn off the 86th Street and then like had to like take like 20 minutes to get to church from 86th Street to here. And it was like, doop, 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 doop. And I was like, well, looks like I have a flat tire to change after church. So I don't know if you felt spiritual warfare, but I was like, Lord, that's not fun. That's not cool. So just to know, let you know, like real life happens. So right now my car is out here with a flat tire and it's awesome. So we're here. So we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 5 together. So go ahead and turn there, 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to be verses 1 to 4. And as you turn there, I just have a question for you. When I say the word elder, what comes to your mind? Like when I say the word elder, what image, what person, what people come to mind? Because as you look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and you start skimming it a little bit, you're going to see that word elder. So let me just kind of like guess, okay? I'm just going to guess maybe what you're thinking of. Okay, this is what I have on my mind. And so maybe if you think of elder, you think of maybe the movie Up, and you think of maybe someone like from the movie Up, and you're like, man, this is what my friend looks like, or man, I know someone who's like, you know, like this, an elder. And so maybe that's what you have in your mind. Or maybe you're like, you know what, I don't think about that. I think of the person from Toy Story. You know, the Toy Story guy who has like little pickaxe, one that they call the old man. Maybe that's what I think of. I think of the old man guy. Or maybe you're just a huge Star Wars fan, okay? And you're thinking, you know what, when I think of an elder, I think of Yoda. And so you're like, man, Yoda is my guy. He is my elder. He's the wise guy. He knows it all. He's like 1,000 years old. Or maybe when you think of an elder, you think of someone who's like older, maybe crazy white hair, scientist guy from, you know, that one movie called Back to the Future, and you're like, you know what, that's what I think of when I think of an elder. Like, you know, that's just what it looks like. And so that was me just kind of guesstimating, but I'm just telling you right now, that's not what we're talking about when we talk about elder in Scripture. Like, this word that we see, elder in Scripture, has nothing to do with age and has everything to do with this position that God has established within the church organization. So God has established this position of elder. And so when we look at that word elder, you could also translate that and substitute it with the word pastor and shepherd and overseer and bishop. And so when I say elder, I want you to think like pastor and shepherd and overseer and this position, okay? Not one of these elders, but a position that God has established in the church. And then when we look at like Acts 20, we see Paul who is like, again, trying to send out these elders and saying, man, we got to take these elders to the church of Ephesus. We got to send these elders here so they can take care of people. And so there are these people that have this pastoral leadership in the life of a church, in the life of a congregation. And so I know I'm saying this word elder a lot, and you might be asking, okay, but how can somebody become an elder? Like, what does that look like? What's the qualifications? Like, what qualities does an elder have? And so I want to read to you Titus chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, just to kind of give you a picture of the qualifications of an elder. So an elder is this, verse 6. It says, an elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. So this is just a little bit of a picture of what an elder is and the qualifications of an elder. And so in the context of our church, and we are going to see the context of the passage that we're in, but in the context of our church, we have paid elders or paid pastors that literally spend their entire life and their entire week and month and year just like here and thinking of you and ministering to you and guiding you and the entire church. But then we also have non-paid elders, non-paid pastors who have other jobs, but they also help us guide the church and guard the church. And you might be asking me, okay, what does that even look like? What does it mean to guide and to guard the entire church, the entire flock of God? Well, the way that looks like, I just want you to remember just some of the cultural tensions that we've had to walk through as a church. Things like marriage and what that looks like. Things like homosexuality. Things like cultural tensions of racism and just what that looks like and what are people saying. And then these big picture things that really changed our church for the years to come. All of those things actually go through our elders, and we call that the church council. And so any kind of big decisions that we make as a church filters through them, and there's actually 13 of them. There's 6 of them that are paid, and then the others are non-paid. And so what I want to do is I just want to look around the room, because I really don't know who's here right now. But if you're an elder or a pastor, will you stand up? I just want to see you. I want to see you. Okay? Yes, 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 yes. Okay, so I want you guys to look around the room. I want you to look at these guys, and then we can give them a hand so they don't feel awkward. Okay. Thank you. These are qualified men who, whenever those big questions happen, man, we get together in a room and we wrestle together. And I'm so grateful for them because I get to be one of them, and they really teach me a lot, and we get to wrestle a lot, and it's really good because it's all out of love for the Lord and love for you. And so as we look at the context here, we are going to be talking a lot about elder and about like what do they do and what are they supposed to do. And we're going to be talking to elders. And so you might be saying, Misael, okay, if this is about elders, then I'm going to check out. Peace out. I'm going to get out of here. Please don't do that. Because in all of this, I just want you to put on your leadership hat, okay? Because there's some really big things and really big principles that we can take from here. That sure, we're talking about elders, but we can learn from this passage as leaders. And if you're literally taking in this fresh air that we have, if you are breathing right now, I need to let you know that you're a leader. Because there is someone who's looking at you and learning from you. There's someone looking at you and following you. And there's someone, whether you know it or not, whether you want it or not, there's someone who's looking at you and saying, you know what, I'm going to follow what they do. I'm going to do what they do. And it has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with how old you are, but it has everything to do with someone looking at you and saying, man, that's someone worth following. And so I want you to put your leadership hat on as we're here, if you're not someone who is an elder or a pastor, someone who could qualify to be that. And so as we read this passage, I want you to have that in your mind. So let's go ahead and stand up together, and we're going to read 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. So it says this, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. This is the word of the Lord, and praise be to God. Amen. You may be seated. By the way, I'm rocking our Falls Creek shirt. We just got back from Falls Creek. So where's my Falls Creek people at? That's what's up. Okay, so anyway, so this whole focus that we're going to have this morning, the whole focus and the target and this whole thing of like, if someone asks you at lunch today and they go, hey, you went to church, what did you learn? This is the one thing that you can say, and if you can explain it beyond that, well, that's on you, okay? And so here's the focus and the target. Faithfulness leads to influence. Faithfulness leads to influence. So you're sitting there, someone asks you, you can say, hey, faithfulness leads to influence, and then they'll ask, what does that mean? And you can say, well, I'm not sure, but faithfulness leads to influence. So I want you to think of this. Think of a person that influences you. Think of a person who you allow in your life to influence you. So I want you to think of their name, what they look like. Who is this person in your life or these people in your life that influence you? Now I want you to think of the qualities that they have. And I would dare say that the one quality that each of you are thinking of this person is faithfulness. Because maybe they're faithful to you and they're really present in your life. Maybe they're faithful to their family. Maybe they're faithful in their craft. Maybe they're faithful in what they do and their job. But I'm pretty sure that they are marked with faithfulness. And then I want you to think of Jesus. I want you to think just how faithful Jesus was. How faithful Jesus was to literally come down to our filth and to live a perfect life, to die a perfect death, to literally come up from the grave. He was faithful, even though there is a moment where he was like, God, are you sure? And he's like, man, I'm going to be faithful anyway. I'm going to be faithful. And so I just want to just like take just a second, just kind of like get a little bit personal here and say, if you can be influenced by someone right now who is just marked by faithfulness, why is it so hard for us sometimes, and just think of how interesting this is, that sometimes we don't want to be influenced by Jesus even though we know his faithfulness, even though he's marked by so much faithfulness. That we look at Jesus and you're like, I just don't know if I want to be influenced by you. Or you're like, man, I just don't know if Jesus is someone I want to be influenced by. And those are the kind of things I just want us to think through as we look at this passage. Because Jesus is so faithful, and we are to follow in his footsteps. And as elders and as leaders, we have to recognize that faithfulness leads to influence every time. Because if you really want to have an influence in someone's life, man, be faithful. Be faithful. And so as we look at this passage together, I'm gonna break it up into two parts, into two points. And so the first point that we see in verses 1 to 2, it's this, is that elders should not be forceful. Elders should not be forceful. So as we look at verses 1 and 2, I just want to point out some little details for you before we kind of tether out that point a little bit. So Peter starts here and he says, to the elders among you. So he's talking to a plurality of elders, a plurality of pastors. He's not just talking to one, but he's talking to many in this congregation. And I know this is a little weird because we just got done looking at four chapters where Peter's talking about, hey, this is how you suffer as a believer. And when you suffer, like this is what it looks like to suffer without sinning. And he's just talking all about suffering. And all of a sudden, he just makes this change. And now he's talking to the elders that are responsible for the people that are suffering. And it's almost like we're seeing God look at these people and God look at these elders and saying, this is how you take care of my people when they're suffering. This is how you take care of the flock when they are suffering. And then Peter says something really interesting here. He says that he's a witness of Christ's suffering. That he's a witness of Christ's suffering. Now think about that. Like, why would Peter say witness of Christ's suffering? Peter could have said, hey, I'm a witness of the resurrection. I'm the witness of the transfiguration. Man, I'm a witness of all these miracles that Jesus did. But instead, he goes, hey, I'm a witness of Christ's suffering. Well, I think Peter knew the context in which they're in of how much they were suffering. And Peter's like, hey, look, I'm a witness of how your Lord and Savior suffered too. Man, I'm a witness. And not only that, he goes on, he says, man, and I get to share the glory that has been revealed. Because Peter wasn't just standing in front of them as someone who had witnessed Christ's suffering, but he was standing in front of them as someone who had been restored by Christ, as someone who had repented before Christ, because this is the same Peter, again, that we keep coming back to, the one who denied Jesus. And so he's like, man, I stand before you as someone who has sinned, but has also just given my life to the Lord and saying, Lord, man, forgive me. I repent, restore me. And then we keep on reading in verse 2. Verse 2 says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. I really like how the Spanish translates that because it says, cuiden como pastores el rebaño de Dios, which translates a little bit more to English of saying, man, watch over them. Watch over these people like shepherds who watch over the sheep of God. So it's almost like just focusing it all on like, dude, you are watching over the sheep of God. It's not your own sheep. It's the sheep of God. And here's why I just want to make it personal. Again, put your leadership hat on with me real quick. Leadership is a gift of God. Like leadership is given by God. Why? Because God gives us people to lead. Because God is the one who gives us people to care for. And what we see here is that even when it gets hard, like my friends, I don't know what kind of suffering you're going through. I don't know what kind of hurt that you're feeling right now, whether it's your family, your friends, your personal life. And even when it's hard, be faithful. Even when it's hard, be faithful to God, be faithful to his word, be faithful to his people. Because right here, I mean, it's just so true that we are to shepherd as elders God's flock that are under our care. And as leaders, man, we are to take care of people. And so I just want to give you a little story here. Man, if you haven't visited our campus in Tulsa, man, can I just like encourage you to go? I'm just seeing so much movement and momentum that can only be credited to God. Like, I'm seeing so many people grow spiritually in their faith and leading out, and they're like looking at me and they're saying, Misael, I want to lead an evangelism team. I want to lead a prayer team. Misael, I want to do this. And it's just crazy to me because, like, really what we're doing in English and in Spanish and this whole bilingual thing is super new, but one of our ladies already, like, spoke at a conference. And I was like, I don't know how that happens, but that's awesome. And so all these things are happening, and people are wanting to go to, like, the trailer parks and have, like, block parties, and I just get to, like, stand there and give a thumbs up because they're doing everything, and I'm like, that's awesome. Like, God, you are moving your people. And then people are coming to the church, and new faces are coming to the church, and I was standing there one day, and this guy named Arturo Salazar, who Arturo is a church member of ours, and he looks at me, and he goes, Misael, it is so cool that so many people, so many brand new people are coming to church. And he pauses, and then he says, man, that just means more people to minister to. And I was like, huh. Most people would have just stopped at the first phrase. Most people would have just said, man, he said, it's so cool that so many people, so many new people are coming to our church. But then he added on the, man, that just means more people to minister to. And honestly, that just kind of rocked my world. Because if you think about it, when we think about it, sometimes we just get like super excited that so many new people are coming, that we forget that we have this God-given responsibility to love them, to lead them, to watch over them. And I just want to take it a little bit deeper because this passage says, not because you must, but because you are willing as God wants you to be. You see, Arturo's statement to me when he said, man, just more people to minister to, really, he was reminding me that my worship to God should be out of a desire rather than a duty. That my worship and my praise and me serving people and me loving people should be out of a desire, not out of duty. Because I remember like who God is in my life, that how he literally restored me when I was just in pieces, that he saved me when I literally couldn't save myself, that he saved me not from drowning but from being dead. And saying, Lord, like I just want to have this desire to love you, to serve you. But then we have to be honest, right? Like our human nature, our sin, man, we just gotta have to fight sometimes. We just have to fight to just worship the Lord. But I'm here to tell you, like, man, let's fight the good fight. And let's pray, Lord, please give me this desire. Even when I don't feel like it, give me this desire to worship you, to serve you. And you see, one of the reasons we say that elders should not be forceful is because being forceful is not a fruit of the Spirit. But when we look at Galatians 5 and we look at this passage right here, I mean, we see that the fruits of the Spirit are love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit, not being forceful, but we are to guide people. And as we're guiding people, we shouldn't be doing it for dishonest gain. We shouldn't be doing it to get something from someone. Again, as elders or as pastors or just as leaders, like, we shouldn't have transactional relationships with people. Man, let's love them for who God has created them to be and be eager to serve them. Not to get something from them, but to serve them. It says, be eager to serve. And you see, I kind of just want to like, just like split the veil real quick for you. There's something that pastors usually don't talk about. There's something that elders usually don't talk about. And that's how much pastors and elders suffer. And how much we just feel this weight of the congregation, Not because you guys are doing anything wrong, but it's just like we suffer with you. Like imagine these elders going through all of this stuff with their congregation and their churches, and they're just feeling that suffering with them. And you see pastors feel that too. Like just kind of open up the veil a little bit, there are just so many nights that our pastors, and me included, will just like stay up late at night and just praying and crying because we just love you and we suffer with you. And when you suffer, we suffer. And when you cry, we cry. When you're joyful, we're joyful. But sometimes there's those sleepless nights of like, Lord, like help me, Lord, help them. And we just have all of this weight because we feel the lostness in the community, but we also feel the weight of like making sure we're discipling the people. And man, there's just so much weight that pastors feel. And like me personally, like I'm not a big crier. Like I haven't cried in 10 years. But like a couple weeks ago on a Sunday morning, like once I got done preaching, I was down here and I was sobbing my eyes out. Because it's like, God, like I just feel the weight. God, I need to give it to you. God, I feel the weight, and I just want to be present with everybody, but I can't. God, will you be present with them? And so that kind of weight is something that pastors don't talk about a lot, but it's real, and that's why I'm just asking you, man, when you think about our elders, our pastors, our church council, man, will you please pray for them? Because they feel it, because they're trying to guard and to guide the entire congregation. To guard it, to guide it in its theology and what it does, how it does it. But you see, as leaders and elders and pastors, we must be caring for people. Caring for them and loving them and not being forceful, but guiding them in a healthy way. And so that's what we see in these first two verses. And then the next verses, which is 3 and 4, we see something else. And I hope you like this one. Like I hope that you really enjoy this point, is that elders should not be fake. Elders should not be fake. And as we look at this, at these verses right here, verse 3 starts, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being the examples to the flock. You see, as leaders or as elders and pastors, these men qualified to lead the entire congregation. Man, we shouldn't be exercising some kind of forceful authority. We shouldn't be, quote unquote, lording over people, but we should be leading people. And yes, sometimes, you know, leading is a little bit like, okay, like, come on, let's go. But man, we got to lead people well and guide them well. And I'll be honest, that's something I'm still learning all the time. And I'm trying to get better at that every single time. And we're not perfect at it. I'm not perfect at it. But right here, we see that We're not supposed to be harsh, but we should lead well and lead in such a way that we're an example for the flock. Lead in such a way that we're an example of how to be authentic and not fake. How to be real and not fake. How to be people who say, man, like this is what it is. Like I'm not trying to put a mask on for you. But you see, the reality is like as pastors and elders, We deal with people sometimes who like love to put on masks and love to be fake, and we're looking at them saying, hey, like stop being so fake. Like, come on, let's be real, let's talk about it. But then you know what happens? As pastors and elders, sometimes we feel the pressure to be fake. Because sometimes we feel the pressure of walking around saying, yeah, everything's okay. Yeah, everything's fine. Yeah, we're cool. It's awesome. Instead of kind of taking our own word and saying, no, don't be fake. Be honest. Like, it's okay to say that you're not okay. It's okay to say, yeah, man, not everything's awesome. And so we have to take our own wisdom and our own advice at that. Because sometimes there is that pressure as pastors and as elders to, you know, fake it for people. To where we kind of think, well, if they think I'm okay, then maybe they'll be okay too. But as we see this, we see that Jesus is the chief priest, and he's the chief shepherd. And what Peter is saying is like, man, you get to temporarily shepherd God's people, temporarily shepherd them until Jesus comes back. Man, you get to do that until the chief shepherd appears. Maybe he's appearing right now. I don't know. I can't really see right now because it's like, ooh. But you see, we have the gift of ministering to people until Jesus comes back. And what I love about this is that it actually reminds me of a conversation that I had with Scott Pace. And Scott Pace was the Falls Creek speaker this past week, which is why I wore my shirt to kind of represent. And I was talking with him because he's just a great friend of mine, and we talked for like 2 hours. And when I was talking to him, I was like, Scott, I was like, I haven't seen you in a long time, man. Like, we've texted, we've called, but like, we haven't seen each other face to face. So I just have to ask you a question. Like, in the past month, what is something that you've learned about ministry? In the past month, like, just tell me, like, what you've learned. I was like, you literally speak everywhere. You're literally like some famous guy out there writing books and speaking on huge platforms. I was like, what have you learned in the past month about ministry? And he goes, Misael, honestly, like, I've learned that my reward is seeing people's lives changed. Like, my reward is just seeing people come to know Jesus. Like, absolutely changed. My reward, Misael, is just seeing the guys and the girls that I poured my life into, seeing them 5, 10 years later, and they're still faithful to the Lord. And I was like, man, that's so cool. I was like, you're not saying that your reward is finances or money or fame or the stage. Man, you're saying that your reward is seeing the life change in people. I was like, Scott, thank you for being so faithful, man. Thank you for being so faithful. Because of his faithfulness, man, that led to him to have influence in people. Again, because if you think of the people that you influence, the people influence you, man, they're just looking at your faithfulness. And I'm looking at Scott, and I'm looking at his faithfulness. I'm like, dude, your faithfulness leads me to like want to be influenced by you because you've been through so much and you do so much and yet you're still faithful. And so I just remember that conversation that I had with him, and I was like, Lord, help me be faithful. Like, help me be faithful, because the moment that I'm not, that's the moment I lose my influence. So Lord, help me be faithful as I just try to follow you and follow your footsteps. And I'm not going to be perfect. Like, I'm going to fail. But God, help me. Help me, help me, help me. And so as we think about that, maybe you're in here today and you're saying, Misael, I hear you talk a little about this whole life change thing. I hear you talk a little bit about this whole like, oh, his reward is seeing people come to Jesus. Like, what's all that about? But maybe you also came in here and saying, Misael, I just really feel like I can't change. Like, honestly, Misael, I don't even see the worth in changing. Misael, I don't even think I can come to church until I change. Misael, I feel like I can't even hang out with Christians until I change. Man, my friends, there's a reality that we have to just keep in check and a reality we have to have in front of us. Because honestly, it's not about like, you know, cleaning up and then going to God. That's not what it's about. What it's about, it's going to God, and he's the one that cleans you up. He's the one that makes you new. He's the one that restores you. He's the one, not you. We can't get all cleaned up and then go to God or go to church. It's like, no, Lord, like, I need you. Like, that's why I need you, because I can't clean myself up. Like, I need you to make me new, to clean me of all my wrongs, of all my thoughts, of all the things in my heart. Lord, clean me. And so if you're kind of that person today, I just want to let you know, like, Jesus meets you right where you are. Like, his love meets you right where you are. And he's like, what's up? I'm right here. I love you. And that moment that we trust in him, believe in him, is a moment he cleans you up. And it's just amazing. And as you think about that together, because maybe you're a believer in this room as well, as we think about that together, there's this practical application for us. Because you might be asking, Misael, okay, we've talked about some things, you've said some things, but Misael, like, what is the practical application here? Well, here's the practical application that I want you to write down. It's really simple. Lead with faithfulness. Lead with faithfulness. Again, faithfulness leads to influence. And I think so many times people try to lead with pride. They try to lead with some kind of stern authority with this fist. They try to lead in superiority. They try to lead with anger. Rather than trying to lead with love and gentleness and kindness and patience, So again, this is applicable for the elder and the pastor in the room right now. But it's also applicable for all my leaders in the room, which is all of you, even my little man over here. And so let's live a life that people look at, and let's lead well with faithfulness, because here's the pressure. If you're a believer in the room, here's the pressure I want you to feel. Here's the weight I want you to feel. If you're a non-believer, if you're not a follower of Jesus, if you're not a child of God, this messed up world is the best that it gets. It's the best that it gets. But if you're a believer in Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a child of God, this messed up world is the worst that it gets. Because we have hope in Jesus. We have hope in eternal life. We have hope that this world is not the end. And that is the weight I want you to feel with me and with us. Because that's the weight that our pastors and our elders feel all the time as we try to lead an entire congregation. So what I want to do right now in this moment is I want to ask our elders and our pastors of the church to actually just come to the front right now. Because what I'd love to do is I'd love for us to pray for them and with them. So I'm going to have my elders go ahead and come to the front. And as they do that, I want you guys to stand up with me. And I just want to ask you that if you feel led, come to one of these guys and just pray over them. Pray with them. Man, because I've led with them. Like, they've allowed me to be part of this elder and pastoral staff. And I've seen how they just cry and how they just love you and how they just want the best for you. And so let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. And as we sing, man, please come and pray for them and with them. Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you so much that you are the chief shepherd. And thank you that one day you're coming back. But God, I praise you that you not only call out people, but you qualify men to be these overseers, these elders of a body, Lord, so that they can be present in the suffering of others, that they can be present in the joyful times of others. So, Lord, thank you so much. And God, I pray for the leaders in this room as well, Lord, that they would lead, not being fake, not being forceful, but lead understanding that they are supposed to lead with the fruits of the Spirit. God, we ask all of this in Jesus' name, amen.